You're listening to Alternative to Sleeping with Ethan Almond here on WCDB Albany 90.9 FM. We've got a special guest on the phone, Jeff Keith. How's it going, Jeff?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. So I guess this week someone stole your joke on national TV.
Australian TV. I don't know where it's broadcast, so, but Australia's got talent, I guess.
So no one really actually saw him stealing your joke.
Only people in Australia.
Okay. they don't count. So
I guess.
So now, do you know this guy?
I don't know the guy. I don't know who he is. Apparently, he knows who I am, and he knows who Lee Mack is. He's the other comedian who stole from.
It's so weird. Like, why would he? He just stole like a part of your joke, right? It was just like a.
No, he stole the whole thing. Well, my bit's a little bit longer, but he only had 3 minutes, I think, to perform, or like 2.5 minutes. So he He did one of my bits, and then he did one of Lee Mack's bits, and then he was done. After that, it was a wrap. And he did very well with our stuff, which is nice.
Did you ever think that someone could do your stuff that well?
I don't know if he did it that well. It's a well-written joke. You know what I mean? The guy is trying to defend it by saying, like, he's like, oh, it's a talent show, so it's all in the delivery. He's not a comedian. I don't consider that a comedian. So I'm glad that there's a guy stole my joke, because a comedian didn't steal my joke. The guy's not a comedian.
Right.
But
he's more of a douche.
Yeah. So the funny thing is that he was just like, oh, yeah, it's all in the delivery and stuff. It's like, nah, that doesn't make you a comedian at all. Like, your uncle can tell you funny jokes at, like, a family picnic. And
right.
You know what I mean? You can be laughing your butt off. It doesn't make your uncle a professional stand-up comedian because he, like, knows some, you know, dirty jokes or something.
Right, or if you go on stage with a joke book and start reading it, you're not a comedian. You're just some guy reading a joke book.
Yeah, people can laugh at that.
Now, how did you find out about this?
It's actually really weird. Last night, I don't know what the time difference is in Australia. I know it's different, like way different. But last night, somebody on Twitter just like wrote something at me like, oh, Jeff Keith, one of the comedians that JP ripped off is on Twitter. And then they put like at my thing. And then I didn't know what it was about. And I've had other people tell me before, like, oh, so-and-so's doing your thing or so-and-so's, you know, doing your style. And like, sometimes they're right. Sometimes it's just maybe somebody's talking about their ex-girlfriend and somebody saw me on stage talking about my ex-girlfriend. They think the person, I don't know.
Right.
So, like, I'm never, like, one of those guys that jumps the gun, like, everyone's doing my stuff.
Right.
So I was, like, I just wrote the person back, and I'm, like, who's JP, and how'd they rip me off? And literally within 15 minutes of me seeing that, Punchline Magazine tweeted something about it, then Punchline Magazine got my number from a manager friend of mine over at The Collective, which is a management group and in L.A., and then so I did an interview with them, and then I was getting emails on through my fan mail and my Twitter and Facebook from Today Tonight, which I guess is an Australian news show, which they told me they're the number one news show in Australia. I have no idea. But, and then I did an interview with that guy, and so most of the time trying to figure out what he was saying because his accent was so thick.
I saw that video, and I knew what you were saying, and they, like, subtitled you, but they didn't subtitle him.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, over the phone, it was the worst. Listening to, you know, what my voice sounded like to him, it was obviously on the cell phone and everything.
Right.
But that guy sounded like, I mean, I was listening on the other end, just like, I mean, go, you joking, there you go. What do you think? And I'm just like, yeah, dude, I don't like it. I'm going to tell my joke. Not cool.
So, all right. So, now, have you been in contact? The guy's name, should we say his name or should we just leave him nameless?
I prefer just not even mention the guy because he's getting enough publicity, apparently.
Yeah.
I haven't been in contact with a guy. Some comedians. The thing that's really nice about it is, like, I honestly wasn't. I mean, obviously, it's completely wrong what the guy did. I don't like the guy. I don't wish him luck.
Right.
I don't consider him a comedian. I'm not, you know, rooting for him or anything. But I also was like, kind of like, what can you do? You know what I mean? The guy lives in Australia. It's not like it was someone I know personally where I can, like, call them or go up to them and confront them about
it.
So, like, what can you do? At the very least, hopefully this gets my name out in Australia, and I've been trying to go there anyways to do some shows, so I think it'll only help. And a bunch of comedians have, like, you know, really taken up for me, and comedians don't like this at all. So, like, a bunch of comedians have taken up for me, and some of them have been emailing me that they emailed the guy, and they're showing me what they emailed the guy. And the guy's just emailing stuff back that's really, like, you know, snarky and kind of like, oh, whatever, like, who cares? Like, yeah. thanks for the support, you know, like, kind of just being a jerk.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to tell these comedians, like, it's nice for them to do. The guy knows what he's doing. He, you know, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he did. He's doing it on purpose. He's trying to play like, oh, I'm young and I'm just making people laugh. That's right. What everyone that steals jokes said. They're like, I'm making people happy. And it's like, yeah, you're not. You're like stealing somebody else's hard work and creativity and you're profiting off it, which is completely right. Wrong.
What if he won the contest with your joke, you know?
Well, the thing is, that's one of the things that really is bugging me is apparently of all the news stories I've seen on TV and like in the papers in Australia, the show hasn't kicked the guy off yet. They're still like debating what to do, which they might be doing just for more publicity.
Right.
But I have a feeling they're not going to kick him off because they'll probably get even more publicity to see what he does next or whatever.
You know what they need to do? They need to fly you and the other guy out, and they need to let you guys have a shot at the...
That's what I just literally, like, a half hour ago emailed back to the senior producer at Today Tonight, that Australian show, and I told him, he said, is there anything else I can do to help? Let me know. And I said, you can tell that show that they should fly me out there so I can go on Australian TV and tell their audience why what he's doing is wrong. Because one of the news reports I saw really pissed me off because... some radio personalities in Australia were like kind of laughing about it. And they're like, oh, this guy got caught. Oh, he got caught. That's funny. He got caught. And they're like, oh, but you know, in the radio business, we steal from each other all the time. And they're equating, I'm not in the radio business. I don't know what goes on, but it's not the same. I know it's not the same. And they're equating it like justifying, yeah, this guy's stealing. And there's an Australian comedian who I guess is like a big time, you know, famous Australian comedian named Ostentatious. And he was in both news reports I saw, and the thing that bugs me about this guy is that I don't know him, and I'm sure he's a great guy, but his take on it is like, they should give this kid one more chance to see, you know, see what he does. And then he also said he's just trying to find his voice like every comedian. And here's the thing, I started when I was 19, this guy's 22 who stole from me. I never stole a joke, it never crossed my mind. I dropped material when I was younger that I realized was like not that original, you know, I thought of it, but then when I did it and I saw, oh, other people kind of have the same take on that same, you know, very obvious topic. So I dropped it. I'm like, I want to be a really good comic. I don't want to be a guy talking about the gym or girls dancing together at clubs. You know what I mean? Like, those jokes were like my first year of stand-up, and I'd never do them anymore.
Yeah.
So it's no excuse. I'm playing dumb, like, oh, I'm making people laugh. I'm young. I'm 22. I just want to make people laugh. That's the easiest, like, BS loophole there is. Like, oh, I'm a good guy. No, you're not.
Yeah, and, you know... And I heard he was saying he was doing a tribute to you guys. But if you're doing a tribute, you say that you're doing a tribute.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And then he also in one of the news reports said, it's like when you get a funny text message and you forward it on, you don't give credit to, you don't try and find the source of it. And it's like, how does that even relate to you looking up me and Lee Mack, taking our bits word for word and profiting off it? I get a funny text message and I forward it. Everyone knows it says forward, forward, forward. No one's going. No one's like selling T-shirts. Like this, that's the thing. They asked me, well, what if this guy apologized? Would that make it better? And I said, no, it wouldn't, because he has a name out there. And I'm not saying everybody in Australia loves him, because I'm getting a lot of mail from people in Australia who hate the guy and are telling me like, oh, he's a jerk and whatever, and you're great. But there are some people who, just because he's on TV, this guy could sell T-shirts if he wants. He could, you know, he can put out like some crap comedy album that people would be. He can make money off of using myself and Lee Mack's material.
Right.
And the other thing is, when they said, oh, what if he just moves on the competition and he gets to do his own stuff, this is what I'm trying to, like, get out there. There's a lot of – most of my material, first off, that joke that he took of mine is very old. I barely ever use that anymore. You know, I'll do, like, hour-and-a-half show, and I won't do that joke. It won't even cross my mind. Mm-hmm. But I'll do it sometimes. I'll throw it in whatever.
Yeah.
But – there's a ton of my stuff that's not on TV. There's a ton of other comedian stuff that's not on TV. He can go on there and do other people's funny, funny stuff, and then no one would be able to take it from TV and see who he stole it from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then he'll just get credit for that.
Yeah. You know, as soon as when someone starts stealing jokes, I feel like comedians, we don't like them anymore, you know? It's like we're not going to help them out. It's just, you know, they're done. You don't steal jokes. It's just, you know,
it should be done. It
pisses me off that there's like fans who just, you know, they're like, oh, whatever, you know, it's still a joke. But people don't realize what goes into making a joke and then making it funny. You know,
they don't realize it at all. They don't really respect it. And I've had conversations with people all the time about like, you know, when I, before I did stand up, almost every single party I went to or new group of people I met, within like, you know, 15, 20 minutes of hanging out with me, they'd all be like, "You're so funny, you should do comedy."
Right.
And then ever since I've been in stand up, if people introduce me or people know I'm a comedian before, I'll be joking around, everyone's laughing, as soon as the laugh dies down, "Oh, do you think you're funny?" It's like people have no respect for you if you're actually a real comedian. And I think it's because everybody has a sense of humor. You know, like even if you're like not funny to other people, you're funny to yourself. So everybody thinks, "I could do that," or "Oh, if only I could get on stage, I could do that." And it's just, you can't. That's not true.
Right, and that's completely evident at like open mics, where you see these people who think they're hilarious get on, and they're laughing and their friends are laughing to support them, but they're just, you know,
One of the things most people say to me is like, "Oh yeah, man, like, I'm really funny. If I just went up there and got drunk," and I'm like, "Nah, I wouldn't. A paying audience would hate that. You just like, that's what's funny to your friends. That's not stand up comedy."
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're drunk at a party.
Now, you know, I'm thinking about this. Now, are you gonna take this whole situation and turn this into a joke about someone stealing a joke?
I was thinking I was making something on YouTube or something for the guy, like, you know, because the bit he took of mine is my three requirements for a girl. So I was thinking of doing like the three requirements for a comedian and then just like making fun of him. But
I've got an idea for you. I've got an idea. You dress up like him. You stick, you know, I don't know what the hell kind of teeth he has. Those are the biggest teeth I've ever seen. You need to like get like giant fake teeth and just steal him. I don't know.
What would I steal, though? The guy doesn't do anything.
Steal him stealing joke. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you got to do something with the teeth, because his teeth are obnoxious. And
I'll tell you what. His teeth are one of the things. Everyone keeps writing me stuff about his teeth, and that bothers me less than his attitude about the whole thing.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But it's just the cherry on top of, you know, a douche.
Yeah.
Man, so
I don't know. I'm trying to get to Australia, though. I was already trying to get to Australia, and I had some like promoter people helping me out. So I think this would probably only help.
Yeah, and
the guy from Today Tonight said, the producer said, he's gonna forward my email over to the show about me going up on their show and you know, explaining what the problem is.
Yeah, you know, I could see a lot of people not wanting to watch the show anymore. Like, if I was watching a show and they allowed something like that, it would just completely turn me off. I would not want to watch that.
That's the thing, though, is, like, it really does not, like, human nature is not going to stop people from watching that show. It's only going to make them watch it more, like, especially if they keep that guy on. Because, and then the TV people know that. It's like the same thing with Charlie Sheen that just went on in our country. People want to watch it for a couple weeks, you know? We don't want to watch Charlie Sheen do that stuff forever. But for a couple weeks, man, anything Charlie Sheen did, it was front page news. Everybody was talking about it, and, like, people like it. People, for some reason, it's kind of a sick, twisted thing, but it's human nature. We like seeing train wrecks. We like seeing jerks. You know, we like it for some reason.
So maybe, I guess, following that, maybe you should just, you know, have a total, just start like a war against him. You know, like just get your fans against him. Start like a negative Twitter page or something, and just like, you know, like how you know, Stern used to do it. Just like completely start a fight against him. It'll get people riled up. It'll give you publicity. Obviously, you know, anyone who supports him is an idiot.
I haven't heard of anybody supporting him except for the show, you know, so far. So far, the show hasn't kicked him off, and they're still debating, is what they say, about what they're going to do. But I don't want to do any sort of thing where I'm, like, it's very strange how that can easily turn into, "Oh, why is this comedian Jeff Keith, you know, wanted, you know," it can easily turn into "I'm the bad guy and I'm not the bad guy." So I'm just going to kind of, I'm going to leave alone that guy, but I'm not going to leave alone Australia because I want to go perform there.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, have you ever stolen a joke yourself?
Never. That's the thing I told the guy Today Tonight. I go, this, you know, some of the things running are saying like, "Oh, he's young though." It's like, that's not an excuse at all. He's not 8. He's 22. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's an adult. I started when I was 19. I never stole a joke. It never crossed my mind.
Yeah. Same with me. I was 16, but it's, you know, age is, that's ridiculous to claim, because so many people are already comedians by then, you know?
You can't, I mean, come on. It's like right from wrong.
Yeah.
How old are you when you learned that stealing was wrong? That's the age when you know not to steal jokes.
It's true. It's totally true. I don't know. I really hope he doesn't get away with it, but.
The thing is, every comedian has, like, a different mentality, and I've talked to other guys that are like, oh, yeah, you ever just having a rough set, so you throw in, like, you know, a quick Dave Attell joke just to get him back on your side, and I'm like, no, what are you talking about? If I'm having a rough set, which, you know, usually doesn't happen that often anymore, but even when I was starting out and I, you know, deal with different audiences where it's like, oh, I couldn't figure them out, I would eat it with my own stuff, yeah. And I would walk out a man who just ate it with his own stuff, and then when I do great, I'm doing great with my own stuff.
Right. You're a real comedian. You're not, you know, you're growing, you're learning, and you're getting better. Yeah. You're not just taking a stupid, easy way out.
Exactly.
So now you said you started when you were 19. How long have you been doing it?
7 years.
7 years?
A little over 7 years, yeah.
So you said that, you know, people say they stole stuff. Have you ever, like, known that someone has taken something before? For sure.
I've never known 100%. Like, this is pretty cut and dry, 100%. I've, yeah. I've had other people tell me, like, so-and-so's doing a bit about this at, you know, this place. And once, like, I've had it happen a couple times. And I actually had a somewhat high-profile comic who I hosted for a while ago at the Improv in Hollywood, California, the next night. I don't do a lot of topical jokes for this exact reason. Because there's, you know, a lot of people will be doing them.
Right.
And I did one that wasn't, like, a huge, huge news story, but I did his topical joke, and it wasn't the news. And then the next night, apparently, after I did it in front of this guy who was, you know, somewhat famous, my buddy was at the club the next night and called me, and he goes, hey, you told me that new bit you're doing? And he goes, so-and-so is doing that word for word right now. And I was just like, ah, man, that's the thing. It's topical. It's probably just whatever. And he goes, did you do that last night when you hosted for him? And I was like, yeah. And he goes... Man, he goes, it's like the same thing. I'm like, well, he might have the same take. And I'm not like one to jump the gun. And he goes, dude, it's word for word the way you told me you say it and everything. And I was like, well, what can you do?
Yeah.
And no. I had another comic tell me once about another guy doing it. And I tried to go watch his set. And I didn't tell him I was there. And he just didn't even end up doing the bit that night. So it's whatever.
So you're not going to say who the person was?
Nah, I'm not going to get into that.
Would you tell me off the air?
I
wouldn't tell anyone.
I can't tell anybody. It's just, there's no point to it. I'm not famous to the point where, like, it won't, you know what I mean?
Was it Carlos Mencia? Me.
It wasn't Carlos Mencia, no.
Was it, no, I won't guess. Doug Benson?
There's honestly no way you can guess it, because it's a guy that, like, is very, very well respected by comics.
Really?
One of the guys I'm talking about, yeah.
So is it like Doug Benson or Doug Stanhope or?
Neither one of those guys. No. I don't think Doug Stanhope would ever take anything. I've worked with Doug Benson before. I don't know. I don't think he would either.
No.
Doug Benson probably can't even remember anybody's stuff to take. He's too high.
He is. Yeah. He's very. That's an act. He's definitely always high.
That guy. He's not faking it.
So now I saw on your website that your bio says that you perform at nudist clubs.
When I was starting out, I would perform anywhere, and yeah, I performed at a nudist colony once, which was most guys hear that and they're like, oh yeah, and it was very much no.
So was the audience naked?
Some of the audience was naked during it, and then after the thing, me and some of the other comics, they like convinced us to hang out, which is pretty funny because they were very big on saying how. Nudists, I don't know if you've ever met nudists or been to a nudist colony, but they're always like, oh yeah, it's not a sexual thing at all. It's just about like how you're born and you're just born naked and it's how like you came into the world. And we're all like, all right, cool. Yeah, we dig it. Okay. We believe you. And then like, as soon as we were partying with them and they got drunk and started doing all these drugs, they were like, take off your clothes. Let's get a look at that penis. Come on. They would stop touching me. And I'm like, no, thanks. I'm leaving. What happened to this how you were born crap?
Right. That's how they keep it legal, I guess.
Yeah, and they're also, it's also, there's not a bunch of models walking around at a nudist colony. Right. It's a bunch of, like, fat old people.
Right. So was it distracting, though, performing to partially naked, unattractive people?
Not really.
No?
We're comics. We perform in a bunch of crazy places.
I don't know.
You know? It was, I mean, it, like I said, it would be distracting if there was, like, some stunningly beautiful girl naked. I might keep glancing over at her, but...
Right.
For the most part, I was like, all right, I'm going to look right above their heads this whole set.
Good call.
No. Not like at the, you know, 3 foot long boobs.
Now, are you still on Disaster Date, or is it something that you did previously?
I did Disaster Date seasons 2 and 3, and then everybody that was on, like, those seasons, like, we couldn't get asked back. Like, they wanted to bring us back, but they couldn't because we were getting recognized too much as a hidden camera show. So it's like, and it wasn't like we were all walking around like we're, you know, super famous. Like, everybody was like, oh, my God, it's so-and-so from Disaster Date. But it was just like, there's multiple actors in each date. So, like, say I wasn't even the main date, but I was playing a side role, like the guy in the corner that was starting a fight, and the girl or the guy who was being set up was like, oh, that guy in the corner set, like, a weird thing is going on, and I remember that guy from the TV. Like, you know, that would ruin the date if I was the waiter.
Right.
And something was going on, or if I was the date, you know, it could, any of us. So it stinks. But there was some episodes that I shot that never got to air yet, so I think they might, I'm not positive, they might air some of those on the season that's airing right now.
Okay. Yeah, you know, actually last week on my show, I had a guy who's on this season. So I
thought that?
It was Hassan Minhaj.
Oh, yeah, I know Hassan.
Yeah. He's a funny guy.
He's a good guy, yeah.
So, now, did you ever date anyone after the fact, after they knew it was a setup?
I couldn't because at the time I was dating, I started dating like a month into filming Monica Smith, who's one of the actresses on the show.
Oh, okay. Are you guys still together?
No.
No.
And we also weren't allowed to
date.
Which is a very loose rule with some of the other guys that were on the cast.
Oh, okay. So some guys did actually end up going with these people?
I don't know for sure. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but I don't know.
Man, you're doing a lot of not talking on this show.
I remember one time the executive producer had to come up to me and my buddy Kayvon, who was on the show, and he was like, hey, guys, we just got, you know, Sally Ann, who's the head of 495 Productions, who, like, produces the show for MTV.
Right.
She like, made Joel, the executive producer, tell us. She came up to me and Kayvon was just like, hey, just so you guys know, like, you can't exchange numbers or anything with any of these girls and all this stuff. And it was funny because Kayvon thought that I, like, ratted him out, which I didn't. Like, I'm friends with him, but, like, as soon as we walk away, he's just like, oh, way to go, Jeff. Why you gotta be a jerk, man? And I'm like, I didn't say anything. I go, I've been sitting here the whole time. He's like, no, man. He goes, you're trying to get me in trouble. And I was like, I'm not trying to get you. I could care less.
Right.
If you're trying to hook up with these girls. But we weren't even trying. I don't even think he was. Neither one of us were. We were just like, we were just friendly.
Yeah. So, did you know what you were doing beforehand, or was it a lot of improv?
It was mostly improv. They'd give you a character. They'd tell you, like, and then we'd have beats. It's like, your character is the guy that, you know, is obsessed with baseball. Your character wants to be a wrestler, you know, stuff like that. But then, like, there'd be beats, like, most of it was improv, and it's like, okay, then we'd hit this beat, like, where you get in a fight with the guy at the other table, or, you know, you rip your clothes off. I had to take my shirt off a bunch. So, like, we had those beats planned out, or, you know, this person, you drop this, you do that, you say this. Like, you know, there's certain things. And they're the friends that set them up tell us stuff about them, like, that they don't like, that, you know, that they hate.
Yeah.
So we try and, like, target on those things, depending on how good of friends they had. Sometimes their friends are like, oh, she hates it when you say this. And then we'd say it, and they'd be like, all right. And we'd be like, wow, your friend doesn't know what you're talking about. And then other times it would totally work out.
Did you ever have to do a gay Disaster Date?
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I'm waiting to air. I did a couple of gay dates. And one of them, the first one I did, we all think that the guy who set up his friend told him it was a show, and he told him what kind of show it was, which did happen sometimes, because the guy, like, wouldn't go along. Like, he was just like, I was insulting him, I was saying about, you know what I mean, and he was just like, okay, whatever, like, you know. And it was like a horrible date. But then the other one I did was amazing, and I don't think I'm, like, legally allowed to talk about it because it didn't air yet, but it was really, really funny. And everybody, like, all the camera guys and the crew and everybody on the producers were like, that was, like, one of the funniest ones we've ever done. And it never aired season 3, and I don't know why. MTV might have, you know, said no, but I asked 495 about that, and they said it might air this season, so hopefully it does.
Yeah, that'd be great. I hopefully we get to see that. It'd be very
cool. It was a lot of fun.
So now we're almost out of time, but I saw that you know you've done Craig Ferguson, Chelsea Lately, you did Down and Dirty with Jim Norton, Live at Gotham, all that. Is there, like, one show that like treats you good and gives you, like, free stuff. I know I've heard of, you know, different tales about people getting free stuff sent in the mail after an appearance or...
They all kind of give you a... every show pretty much gives you a mug.
Yeah.
That's like the standard thing. I don't know if mugs are just, like, worth 9 cents or something, but every show, like... I have, like, a Comics Unleashed mug. I have a Late Late Show mug. I think I have a Gotham mug. I have all these mugs. They like to give you mugs and t-shirts.
That's kind of cool, though.
Like, Comedy Central gave us, like, a bag. Like, where you can, like, carry your notebook or something.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
Why are you trying to get booked on a show that gives you the most gift bag stuff?
I'm just curious.
Oh. BET, they treat you nice. They were like, do you need a stool on stage? I was like, sure. They're like, they ask you, do you want this, do you want that, do you want water? And, like, all, like, normal questions out of nowhere, they're like, do you want a towel? And I go, what? For, like, when I come off, and they're like, do you want a towel on stage? And I go, for what? And they're like, a lot of our comics like to throw a towel over their shoulder while they perform. And I was like, hey, I'm one of the white guys. I'm good with that. I don't need a towel. Well, I'll just perform in the clothes that I wore today.
Jeff, we can check you out online at jeffkeith.com.
Yeah, my name's spelled funny, though. You know how my name's spelled, right?
Yep, G-E-O-F-F. Keith is spelled fine, though, right?
Yeah, K-E-I-T-H. And that's the same for my Facebook / Jeff Keith. My Twitter / is Jeff Keith. So it's pretty easy to find me if you know how to spell Jeff the British way, even though I'm not British.
And you have some albums available on your website?
Yeah, I need to make another one. I mean, my album in 2007, which has the joke that the guy stole. I've been meaning to make another album, 2011 already. I have Sloppy 900s available on my website, and I have One Hard Nipple available on my website. And excellent. I can say that on your radio show because Craig Ferguson said it on CBS. So,
and he is the standard for what you can say on the radio.
CBS is very strict.
Yes. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for calling in. You know, what a dick this guy who stole the joke. Hopefully he plane crash. Like, what are we hoping on him?
I told the Punchline magazine, I said, I don't wish harm on anybody, but if that guy got hit by a bus, I wouldn't care.
Can you give me an exclusive way for him to die? Just so.
Yeah, you know, I'm not thinking of anything, a way for anyone to die. Like I said, if something bad happened to the guy, I would not care because he's not a good person.
Yeah,
but I'm not wishing anything.
You gave Punchline hit by a bus. Just give me one, just so.
Oh, if he fell off a cliff, I wouldn't care. You know, but whatever, anything bad that would happen to the guy, I wouldn't care. You can fill it in with whatever you want. Lightning.
It's a Mad Lib. Bad thing happening. All right,
yeah.
Jeff.
And the end is Jeff Keith doesn't care about that guy.
Jeff, thank you so much for calling in. We can check you out online at jeffkeith.com, G-E-O-F-F-K-E-I-T-H. And we'll check out your hard nipple CDs.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too.
Yep. Bye. That was Jeff Keith, G-E-O-F-F spelling of Jeff.